How you guys doing this morning?
Yeah?
Hey man, I tell you, I'm always touched when you guys come. It's always a blessing. It means a lot. And, you know, one of the things that comes to my mind is the blessing that takes place in the prisons. These guys go out time and again and serve and love people that a lot of the world doesn't like to even think about, doesn't like to even have that come in front of them. And these guys go out time and again and go and love on people out in the prisons. And God uses them greatly. So thank you for loving us too and being here and serving. Really, really appreciate it. You know, we're ending with the song called What About Jesus? And you know, after hearing Homer's testimony, how many people can relate to trying to find something somewhere that's going to not be the melting snow, that's going to be something that actually lasts, that actually doesn't just fade away in a few moments of good feeling and a few moments of pleasure and forgetting all the junk of real life? And how many times have we reached for things and found that when we reach for something, it's not what we thought, and we're still empty. We're still hurting. You know, one of the things as I was watching the news and hearing, you know, you turn on the TV and you'll listen to news for 5 minutes, and you're a little discouraged, aren't you? And you know, we need to be praying for our brothers and sisters in Marysville. And the challenge is, you know, there's a shooting and people have died and others are wounded, people shot in the face and going to be disfigured for a lifetime. There's hurt all over the world. There's junk all over the world. We look at Ebola, we look at all the wars, we look at all the stuff that's happening, and we realize that something's wrong. Something's not right with our world. And as we come to the scripture today, we're going out of our 1 Corinthians today, and we're looking at the book of Acts. And as we look at this, I just want us to ask this question. What if what we just heard about, Jesus loves you. Jesus died on the cross for you, not only for us, but for you. What if that is true? What if it's true that Jesus is who he says he is? What does that mean to us? And so we're going to be looking today at part of a story. And the beginning part of the story is that there's a young slave girl. And she's in a town, Philippi. And she has, through one way or another, brought in evil spirits into her mind, into her heart. And she's the spiritual world, the evil is using her as a mouthpiece to bring people in and to try and hear about the future and try and hear about what's going on. And she's owned by these people who use this thing that she has of the spirits inside of her for their profit. And so they're willing to use her, and they don't want her delivered from this. They want the money that she can bring in. And so Paul and Silas have come in, and they're walking with a group of people, and they're just going around looking for a place to pray. And as they're walking around looking for a place to pray and starting prayer, this woman all of a sudden gets up and starts following them. And as she's following him, she says, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." And she does this day after day. They will come in, they go to pray, and as they go in to pray for the city and do a prayer, once again, "Hey, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." Now, this is kind of good news, right? She's telling the truth. But have you ever had somebody tell the truth in a way that's a little obnoxious? And they're everywhere they go, she's following them and doing this, and days of it. And finally, Paul's annoyed, and he turns around, and he says, "Listen, come out of her. Come out of her in the name of Jesus Christ." And she's delivered from this junk. She's delivered from these lying spirits that are using her. And do you think the guys who own her, who are her owners, are excited about it? They just lost their meal ticket in her, and they're upset. And so we pick up the story here as they are upset and as they're going and going to the authorities and trying to cause trouble for Paul and Silas. Why? Because they loved this young lady. They healed her. They helped her. They brought the love of Christ to her, and they healed her in the name of Jesus. And we pick up in Acts 16, verse 22, it says, the crowd joined in the attack. So as the people are coming, they're getting everybody all riled up. Verse 16:22, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. Have you ever been treated poorly for doing what is right? Have you ever had somebody who came into your life and for one reason or another, they took advantage of you, and they used you, and they misused you? After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. And back then, what they do is they would fasten the stocks. That means you're going on the ground and you're in a sitting position. And so you're sitting like this, and you've got your hands connected right near your feet. They've just been beaten severely, flogged. How do you think these men react? God, here we did what's right. We loved on this girl. We healed her in your name. And this is how we're treated? Let's read what happens in the story. Is that how they responded? They've been beaten. And as they're chained down, their spirits are soaring for the Lord. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Verse 26, suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all of the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. Not only do bad things happen to you if you're on guard and bad thing, and somebody escapes, bad things happen to the people around you, your family. And so he is terrified because there's an earthquake. You know, it's amazing to me because the miraculous part of the story is not the earthquake. Earthquakes happen, don't they? Now, the timing of the earthquake was pretty miraculous, but the earthquake itself wasn't miraculous. What's miraculous is the response of Paul and Silas. That's what the miracle is that these guys are not only not upset and frustrated, they're singing and praising hymns, but look what else happens. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." You see, the doors went open. The prisoners, Paul and Silas, could have escaped. They could have left. Hey, God freed us. Let's get out of here. But see, they're aware of what's happening around them. They're aware of the other people. They're aware of this jailer. And they say, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights and rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved?" You see, this guy had seen two men live out the gospel. Not just talk about it, not just sing about it, but here they're loving their jailer. Think about that for a minute. Think about the people who have put you in an emotional prison. Think about the people who have hurt you, who have come around you and done things to you that weren't fair, that weren't right. Paul and Silas, they were not holding on to what had been done against them that wasn't right. What had they done that was so awful to be put in prison? See, we can come up with all these reasons of why our life's not fair. What's going on and what's happening to us, it's not fair. It's not right. And we become the victim, not only in the reality of the situation, but in our minds and in our hearts. And we stay the victim. We stay there. Now, Paul and Silas, they stayed in prison. But they chose because they chose to love. They chose to love this jailer. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." You see, the jailer was worried about him and his household dying. And here are Paul and Silas. This is the same Paul who used to kill Christians for a living, and he was good at it. This is the same Paul that was paid, that his job was imprisoning and killing Christians. Now he's on the other side of the bars for Jesus.
They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others to his house. All that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. You see, the jailer thought that he was the one who was free. And as he experiences truth before him, two men loving God in the midst of an unfair situation, and then a movement of God, and he realizes that he's the one that's been in prison. He's the one that's stuck. What if it's true, guys? What if Jesus is who he says he is? It changes everything. I want to encourage you, if you've been looking at the religion of Christianity, it's not enough. If you've been looking at the rules of Christianity, don't do this, do this, they're just as empty as any other religion. But if you've looked at Jesus as saying, is he who he says he is? Jesus said, we heard in one of the songs, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That scripture goes on to say, no one comes to the Father except through me. Guys, be free. Because you might think you're out of the prison, or you might know you're in the cell, emotionally, relationally. You might be living a life where you're just plain old tired of all the junk. And you're fearful because what if it's, I asked the question at the beginning, what if it's true? What if it's not? And I can tell you this, I spent years living, what if it's not true? And I was broken. Guys, God knows your heart. He knows what you've gone through. And he says, no matter what you go through, I will never leave you or forsake you. Come to me, all of you who are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Are you tired of putting on a front for people? Are you tired of acting like everything's okay? Are you tired of going around and saying to people, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm good. I'm good too. When your life's falling apart? You know, the story. One of the things I love most about this story is that even though Paul and Silas were in prison, they were free. There's a lot of free people who live imprisoned. And God wants you to be free. Free in him. Free in him to enjoy the blessings of life. The blessings of knowing that when everything's happening in your life, you've got a God who knows you, who loves you, who accepts you as you are. You don't have to jump through hoops to be received by God. You don't have to get better before you come to him. You don't have to straighten up your life first. We all come the same, completely broken. Not one of us in this room, not one of us here has anything to say, see, God, this is what I have to offer you. It's good enough. It's not. My best stuff is junk, and I know it. I don't go a day without sinning. There's been a couple days where I think back and I think, did I even go a day possibly without? Then I think, no, I didn't. But I have a God who is sinless, who I know and love. As I want to end with this. God wants you to experience the joy of knowing what it's like to be a new creation, to go from death to life, to go from junk to joy. And he wants to give you a new identity. And we're all working so hard to present ourselves as something, and many of us know that what we're presenting is not real. And we're just hoping against hope that nobody looks behind the curtain. Nobody reveals that the Wizard of Oz is not the great and mighty, but just the man pulling the levers. Remember in the movie where they pull back the curtain and there he is, and he's still trying to, hey! And it takes a while for him to realize I've been found out. Guess what? God knows, and he loves you anyway. And he died for you. He rose again. He gave everything that so that you don't have to be the liar who's trying to be what you're not. You're free in Christ to be who you are, a child of God. Guys, a child of God from a perfect daddy, not a broken daddy like me to my sons. I have to apologize to my sons and my daughters all the time because I blow it. We have a perfect Heavenly Father who knows us and who loves us. That's good news. A new creation in Christ. God wants you to experience a new identity. A new joy, a new blessing.
a new purpose. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you so much. Thank you for, Lord, thank you for Unchained and their ministry to us this morning. Lord, thank you, Lord, that one of the things I love about this church is you never know what's going to happen. You never know which group is leading worship. You never know. Lord, we pray that more and more you would work outside the box in our lives. Father, that you would continue to minister to us. So, Lord, we offer the rest of this time to you. We thank you for it. We ask for your blessing upon not only this day, Lord, but this week, this year, Lord. We pray that you would search our hearts, Lord, and that if there's anyone here, Lord, who doesn't know you, who knows about you, knows about the religious do's and don'ts, but doesn't know you, Lord, that they would keep listening, that they would come to understand that you love them and you want them to give you their life. Lord, you're on the throne, not us. We got to get off the throne. We got to give up the throne because you belong there in our lives. Forgive us for our sins, Lord, and thank you that you do. And just thank you for this time. Bless it. Use it for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.